Going to be reading from Acts 3, verses 1 to 12. Acts 3. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?"
I think most of us, when we attend church regularly, we have certain routines or habits that when we come to Sunday morning service, don't we? You know, you have a certain time when we usually like to arrive, 10 minutes early, 10 minutes late, maybe just as the first song is beginning, something like that. You may park your car in the same spot in the parking lot every week. And when you come in the door, maybe your habit is to make a beeline for the coffee machine. Maybe you usually like to sit in the same row each Sunday, or maybe there's certain people that you usually like to sit with. Or perhaps your habit is to try not to have any routines. You kind of want to mix it up. But either way, we are all creatures of habit, one way or another. But every once in a while, these routines get interrupted. Now, at the beginning of Acts 3, we see some people going about their daily, their usual daily routines as they arrive at the main gate to the temple in Jerusalem. And it's a gate through which only Jewish people could pass. And the apostles Peter and John, they're about to enter this gate for the 3 o'clock prayers, according to the daily Jewish custom. And at the same time, a man who's lame from birth is brought to that temple gate to go about his daily routine, begging from those who go through the gate. Now, both parties are just doing what they usually did at this time of day. It's pretty routine. But on this day, something really unusual happened. Their routines were interrupted, and their usual habits were actually changed forever. And that's where we're going to focus on today. Now, Jesus had given his followers a new and living way of life through faith in him, and their lives have been radically changed. But some of their routines had remained unchanged. They still did some of the same things. We see the apostles here still gathering at the temple courts, as they'd always done, for the customary hour of Jewish prayer. I think they had probably abandoned the temple sacrifices by this point because they knew that they no longer needed the blood of animals in order to be accepted by God. But they hadn't yet forsaken the temple itself. It was a place where they'd historically learned to seek God. It was a place where Jesus had customarily taught. And so it was still a place, a holy place, a place of honor for what it meant to their people. But the apostles knew that their relationship was now through Christ. It was no longer through this priestly sacrificial system that was in place. Their salvation was not through a system, it was through Christ. So after the day of Pentecost and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, there was this vibrant new community of faith that had started. And we read about that last week and just saw the wonderful things that were happening there. And in verse 43, back in chapter 2 there, it says, Luke says, many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Now, we're not told any of the details of what most of those signs and wonders were. But Luke does now single out this one particular event at the temple, maybe because it attracted such a large crowd, maybe because it gave Peter another chance to once again preach the gospel in a way that literally impacted thousands of people. And so in verse 3, Peter and John are about to enter the temple courts, as they usually did. And as they passed by this lame fellow, he asked for money, as he routinely did. In fact, in Acts 4:22, it tells us that this guy was over 40 years old. Lame from birth, 40 years old. He's been there for a while. And so Peter and John had probably walked past this man many times before without healing him. But this day, when Peter looked at him, something happened. I mean, through the Holy Spirit, the living Jesus did something in Peter and John here, giving them in that moment the faith to release healing power. And it says here, as they pass this man, they look straight at him. They look straight at this man. And then Peter said to him, look at us. Look at us. And that eye contact is really important here. Look at us, he says. And this is exactly what Jesus had done when he healed people. He didn't just walk up to people and heal them, you know, without first getting their attention on him. He got them to focus their gaze on himself. Because that's what arouses expectation. That's what starts to stir up faith. And faith is necessary. And so this is actually what happens here as well. This man expected to receive something from Peter and John. His faith was quickened now by Peter's words, look at us. And so instead of just keeping his eyes lowered as he usually would, the beggar then gave them his attention. They're locked in their eyes together. They're looking at one another, and it literally says he fastened his eyes on them, expecting them to give him something. Well, maybe a few small coins as he lay there at the gate of the temple. And this sense of expectation that we see in this man is something that's needed in order for any of us to receive anything from God. We need to have that expectation that he will indeed respond. And so you have to look to God, you have to look to him to expect something from him. And you know, there's people like this man who've been in churches for 40 years. And they've never really given their attention to God. Well, they hope to gain something through the routine of regularly showing up. But they've never truly entered into, and they don't truly expect anything from God. The life-changing truth of Jesus that's offered just kind of passes right by them. And they can sit there for years and never be changed, never experience the healing transformation that God has for them. They haven't fixed their eyes on Jesus. And so they let their sin and their failure and inadequacy and all the things that they probably hate about themselves turn that gate into a barrier instead of an entrance. And so they sit outside that gate, as it were, hoping to merely survive another day. Now the temple, as we know, had several gates as you went in further into the temple, gates leading to the holy place. And so the issue of sin was always raised as people approached the temple or approached these gates here. And the further in you got, the more serious it got. But people came to the place at the temple there, hoping to find God, hoping to find forgiveness through these the sacrifices and so on. But many found themselves sitting at the gate and stuck in sin. And this lame beggar's experience here is really a metaphor for what happens with many people today. They're drawn to the place of God, but at some point that gate becomes a barrier, and they don't go through. And rather than an entrance, they just don't go any farther. They won't step through it. And so they settle for getting by on small change, just enough to survive another day, another week, because they haven't found the key to the gate. That is, they won't go near enough to find the love and grace of God in Jesus Christ, where sin and fear and inadequacy are finally done away with. They haven't understood that Jesus is the key and that they need to fix their gaze on Him and receive their spiritual healing and the wholeness that they really need in their life. So it's significant that when the beggar looked up and fixed his gaze on Peter here, the first thing that Peter did here was to acknowledge his own bankruptcy, right? I mean, he wasn't Jesus. And he tells the man, I haven't got any material things. Silver and gold have I none. And if that's what you're looking for, I can't help you. And when he said that, then I think maybe Peter paused for a couple seconds. You know, just waiting to see if this man would then just turn away or whether he would keep listening. And Peter saw that he still had the man's attention. They were still locked in that gaze there. Then Peter went ahead. He acted. Not on his own inadequacy, but on the adequacy of Christ. And he said to him, but what I have, I give you. Now Peter knew two things about himself here. First of all, that he was in himself inadequate to help this guy. But he also knew, as he writes later in 2 Peter 1:4, that he is a partaker in the divine nature. That God dwells within him and that he could act in the power of Christ because he was full of Christ. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And so he says to the man, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. What a statement. And it's at the mention of the name of Jesus that something amazing happens. I mean, strength immediately flowed into this man's legs. And Peter, seeing that, well, he takes him by the hand and he helps him up. You know, I don't think he had to do that. I mean, the power was Christ's, but the hand was Peter's, right? There was a coming together of God and man working together here through Peter. Peter probably didn't really need to help him up, but he was just doing what he had seen Jesus do, like when he raised Jairus' daughter, lifting her up by the hand. And that's when it says that this man jumped to his feet, began to walk, and then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Incredible transformation. Now, in this lame man's original condition, we can actually see a metaphor. We can see a picture here of the condition that many people are in. We live among people who are just getting by, wishing to know God, but unaware of how to find Him. And they maybe long for a change, but they don't really know where to find it. And so they get by on scraps and spare change when there's actually a banquet available to them. So this man's miraculous healing here is also a metaphor for coming to faith. Now, forgiveness and acceptance in Christ doesn't mean just getting by. It means a feast in the presence of God. It means leaping and dancing and singing and joy and inclusion is what it means. It's far more than just survival. And so what it did here is it turned this disabled man who sat begging outside the temple into a worshiper. He went right on in, which is what God wants for all of us, to fully enter in what He has for us. Now, like Pentecost itself, this supernatural event at the temple isn't an instance of the ongoing work of the risen and ascended Jesus. By his Spirit, his power is now active in those who are partakers in the divine nature. And that means that the church can exercise the power of Jesus today if we keep our focus on him. That's vital. There's a story of how the famous 13th century theologian Thomas Aquinas went to see the Pope, Pope Innocent II. And when he arrived, the Pope was busy counting out a large sum of money. And the Pope said to Thomas, "You see, the church can no longer say, 'Silver and gold have I none.'" And Thomas said, "True, Holy Father, but neither can she now say, 'Rise up and walk.'" And that's not singling out any church. That's possible for any church, right? There's been times when God's church just has fixed its gaze on silver and gold and trusted in material wealth rather than on the complete sufficiency of Christ. And that's when the church loses its ability to bring Christ's saving power to the lost, to a lost world. But look what happens next here, verses 9 to 12. This formerly lame man who lay outside begging every day now goes right through the gate and into the temple courts with Peter and John. And he's not just walking, he's jumping and he's praising God. He's making a bit of a commotion here. And what it does is it draws the attention of a whole lot of people who are there. And they look at this and then it hits them. This is the lame guy who we've always seen sitting outside the gate begging for years. And they can hardly believe their eyes here. It says, they were filled with wonder, thambos. It means utter astonishment and amazement, ecstasis. It means it literally blew their minds at what had happened to him. In a way, it was almost a repeat of the day of Pentecost again. Back in chapter 2, where it said in Acts 2:6, a crowd came together in bewilderment at what they were seeing and hearing. Now, this crowd knew that this man had been lame from birth. And now he's walking and he's leaping and he's praising God. And they also see that he's clinging. It says he's clinging to these two Jesus followers, Peter and John. He's hanging on close to them. And it says the people were astonished and they came running to them in that covered area inside the temple court, Solomon's colonnade. And that's when they gave their attention to Peter. I mean, Peter's the spokesman here. They gave their attention then to Peter. They're looking at him because there's undeniable evidence here that Peter and John could somehow exercise some kind of supernatural power. That must have been how it appeared. But look what it says in verse 12. It says, when Peter saw this, he said to the men of Israel, "Why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?" Peter deflects the tension away from himself here, which is a beautiful thing. And Peter now also has the perfect opportunity to launch into his second great sermon of the church, which we won't go into today. But you can see the result of it if you turn ahead to Acts 4, verse 4, where it says at the end of this episode, it says, "But many who heard his message believed, and the number of men alone grew to 5,000. So once again, this incredible inflow of people believing Christ, becoming the church. So what Peter did here in verse 12 is what the church is called to do. It's what every Christian is called to do, and that is to declare our own bankruptcy and point to the source of our sufficiency, right? That's what we're called to do. It's not me, it's Jesus. And he says to them, "Don't look at us as if we made this man walk." And he wants it to be just crystal clear that the power by which Jesus healed during his public ministry is now still present and active, but now exercised through his followers here. They're involved, but Peter deflects that attention to Jesus. And then he cuts to the chase with an amazing message in the gospel of Jesus. in those following verses. You know, the call of the church is to release the life of God. It's to declare the power of God. It's to make available to people what only God can do in the name of Jesus. That's our calling. And occasionally, it may even be through a miraculous healing or some other miracle that people can see. But most often, it's through the miracle of changed lives. That's where we see it. That's what this man's leaping and praising God actually represents. It represents a changed life. Someone who's come to know Christ, and it's made all the difference. Lives transformed by Jesus and conformed to Jesus. So what happened there at the temple gate is actually a metaphor for that. And these people saw it, and they were convinced that God was at work here. And so they were then prepared to listen to an explanation, to hear what Peter has to say. And that's what he does in these remaining verses. Very clearly puts forth the gospel message. Someone said that every miracle is a parable. Not only shows the power of God to heal outwardly and physically, but it's a picture of what can happen inwardly and spiritually as well. That's what this instant is here. And what happens inwardly and spiritually is actually much more important than what happens outwardly. Our bodies are temporary, but our spirits are eternal. And you know, people can be lame and blind spiritually as well as physically. Even believers can be limited by these things. And so what we need to do is fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, right? So I want to close with just three thoughts here that come out of this. First, the lame man at the temple here is a picture of the people of this world, lying at God's door, asking for help. You know, it's a lame society, unable to be who God has made them to be without Jesus. And like this lame man, they don't know what to ask for. They mainly ask for material help, and you know, the church can help with that. We can help with a little of that. Material help, and we ought to. But if that's all we give, we're no different from the Red Cross or some secular organization. But we are different. We need to give what Peter and John gave here, not silver and gold, but the name of Jesus, the only name by which people must be saved. That's our job. God offers to make people whole, sometimes on the outside, but always on the inside. Right? Secondly, maybe you see something of yourself here in this lame man. Maybe you've been lying at the gate and looking for help. You haven't really been expecting anything more than a helping hand, but God has so much more to give you. And you need to hear, in the name of Jesus, all that God has made available for you. It's all there, if you'll enter in. So I say to each and every one of you, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Be all that God is calling you to be. Fix your eyes on Him and just step into the fullness of new life in Jesus Christ. Thirdly, I give us a challenge here too, to be like Peter and John. You know, we each have opportunities to help others in different situations, whether it's family or friends or even strangers. And, you know, we can talk about the weather to them or about work, about the latest news or whatever, but somebody you meet along the way is going to be open to more than that. God makes these things happen. And we can say to them, look at me for a minute. Look at me. Let's talk about something different here. Let me share with you something completely different that's made all the difference for me. Are you open to more of God than you've ever had before? God gives us those opportunities sometimes. Sometimes it's risky, yes, but often God goes ahead and he prepares the ground for us, and we just need to drop in the seed, which is the name of Jesus. Next Sunday, you may come and sit in the same seat that you usually do. You may sit with the same people you usually sit with. Nothing wrong with that. I do it. But between now and then, ask God for an opportunity during the week to give away what you have been given and share the name of Jesus. We're going to pray. I'll ask the worship team to come up. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the reality of your presence, for the way that you are still living and active today, now enthroned in glory, but even more powerful and being able through your Holy Spirit to minister through people one to another. Pray today, Lord, that your word would go to our hearts, that we would respond, that we would be ones who truly enter in, that we would not stand at the gate, but we would know that in the name of Jesus we can enter. We can know that we can go in leaping and jumping and praising God, and we can know a transformation in our lives. And so today we ask for that for each and every one. Thank you, Lord, for your word, for your truth, for the new life that you give. And if there's anyone today, Lord, who needs to know that new life, Lord, let them know that it's in the name of Jesus alone. And in inviting you in, they will be invited in. Thank you, Lord, for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand as we sing this final song, blessing the name of the Lord.